Jesus Christ is all we want. This is the good news, that He is available to us. But you know that there is another news, that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory in us for the world. We, the church, is the fullness of Christ's body. And the world cannot see Jesus Christ in any shape or form as He walked the first century, the streets of Jerusalem and Judea and the streets of Nazareth. They were able to see Jesus Christ, the full representation of God the Father. But that full representation in a tangible human form is no more. He ascended to God the Father, sat at His right side, and completed the work of redemption, the work of reconciliation, bringing all creation in right standing with God the Father. But as He finished the redemptive work, the work of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation, He entrusted to His church. He said it is finished as far as the redemption that is available to us. Hilton talked to us last Sunday about the propitiation that Jesus became for us. That means that He has taken in His body all the penalty that we deserved. And God heaped it on Him. And Jesus Christ resolved the righteous demands that God the Father had in terms of sin. So the work of redemption is complete. But the work of reconciliation of creation to Creator is an ongoing. It's a process of partnership between God the Father, the Creator of all universe, and His church. God is a missionary God. He has sent Jesus Christ on a mission, and Jesus Christ accomplished that mission. And then God the Father and God the Son sent the Holy Spirit to empower His body. So in Ephesians, when it says in chapter 1 that we are the fullness of His body, then we can truly appropriate that statement by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We have God the Holy Spirit empowering the church to do the partnership work of reconciliation. God the Father entrusted the church with the message and with the work of reconciliation. What does that mean in very, very, very simple language? It means that you and I have to be about our Father's business. And you and I, as we have entered the kingdom of light, His kingdom, His reality of existence, we have taken on a partnership job in which we have said to God the Father, I accept your redemption work that Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. And because I heard the message, now I have the obligation to proclaim the message.
It is not just enough that we are saved and we have been placed in His hand where nobody can snatch us from His hand. We thank Him for that. This is the redemption work that He has accomplished for you and me. He has placed us in the safety of His palm. We're like the apple of His eye. Nobody can touch us. Nothing that happens in the world can crush us in any form or shape. And I'm talking about the core of you cannot be crushed. Because now your core is Jesus Christ and the hope of glory that's being represented through you to the world. That's the redemptive work accomplished in you through Christ. But now it is with God's hand, you in His hand, being the hope of glory for many in this world. This is how Jesus put it, explaining to those that aspire to follow Him what it meant that we partnered with God into the reconciliation work of God the Father. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, Jesus says this, "You..." And by the way, when we're reading it this morning, He means you. You sitting here, you following me. No, He's talking to His followers. You disciples of Christ, you who have experienced the transformation power of Jesus Christ in your spirit, you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? Now again, Jesus Christ talking to you, His follower. You are the salt of the earth. But you, my dear church, our Father's house in California, Maryland, if you who are salt lose your saltiness, how can it be made salty again? By the way, salt carries an essential essence that cannot be replaced. Nothing can replace the salt. You know, nothing can make the salt salty, okay? If this is an essence that is essential to salt, and that is the value of salt. If it loses its saltiness, it's of no value. This is what Jesus says about it. If it loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. He also says to us this morning, actually He said it to first century followers, but remember in John, He actually prayed and said, "These things I say not just for your benefit, my immediate followers, but for all of those that are going to believe in me and follow in like manner." So what we read in the Bible is not just stuck in first century. We bring it here for completion of His missionary purposes. This is what He says in verse 14. You, our Father's house, is the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What is your light going to do? Your light, if you do not hide yourself, if you do not put it under a bowl, if you do not keep piling the manure in one place and begins to stink beyond compare, I love that. I don't know where, how Tim didn't know what I was prepared to share with you and what the Lord has orchestrated this Encounter Sunday to look like. But I'll say it in a different way. If we put all of the light in one place and we shine so bright, we basically blind ourselves. And it's so bright that it's beyond necessity in here, bright. But outside is as dark as it gets. And if we do not walk our light in the streets of our marketplace out there, the darkness would be so severe that nobody would be even aware that there is a creator, that there is a different lifestyle that they can engage, that there are different core values they can entertain and make their own, that there is a different worldview that actually represents hope, that represents progress in a different way as people have foreseen it at this point. If we do not walk our light in the streets of this town, they will not see our good deeds and in return give praise to God the Creator. Do you know what seeing your good deeds is in reality? In reality, that means that you and I, as transformed new creatures, you know, everything old has passed away, and so now we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so you and I, as new creations, as we engage people in life, like everyday engagement, like at the store, there is a whole line, and that lady right there with a bunch of coupons is holding up the line forever. And you know what? You're on a time schedule. And if you're on my time schedule, you have absolutely no time to even walk in the store, nonetheless, to wait for 10 coupons to be scanned. And so by the time she's done, you are ready to tell her off. Now, if that is how you act, this is an act of darkness, definitely not an act of light. Nobody would look at that deed and praise your God, the Father in heaven. Actually, nobody would know you have a God in heaven that you call Father. You know that spirit in you that calls Abba Father, the adoption spirit in you, hasn't been working at all through you. So nobody would recognize you have a heavenly Father that you're putting on display. But if instead you stay with patience and you collect your cool and you bless that person with your speech and you bless the cashier, they will see the good deed and they'll recognize a different spirit. The spirit of light. Oh, as you are at your workplace, and you have the opportunity to steal, to appropriate things that are not yours, and even your boss decides it's a good idea, since he appropriates things that are not his, but you stand and by your actions display a different nature, the new nature that doesn't steal, doesn't appropriate things, even if they're easily taken or easily offered to you. But you do not take anything that does not belong to you, for you know your God told you, thou shalt not steal. And your testimony of life testifies to God the Father. And they look at your good deeds and they praise Him for the way you act. It brings Him glory. Your light, in a very practical way, have begun to shine in a darkened community, have begun to shed illumination on a darkened way of understanding. and sheds light on a faulty, depraved worldview. Wouldn't that give him the glory? And wouldn't the people attracted to the light? So Jesus says, if you're salt, you better act like it. If you're light, you better don't hide your light, but you take your light into the marketplace and let it shine. Let it be that city that is put on a hill that everybody can see. And let it be a light that as it's lit up, you did not hide on the fear, on the pressure, on the peer pressure, on the political correctness type pressure. You're not hiding your good deeds for any reason or for any person, but you boldly proclaim who I, Jesus Christ, the Savior of your life, am in your life, and you boldly proclaim who's God the Father, who is actually the creator of the entire universe and the Lord of all lords, the bosses of all bosses. And you can now have the freedom to proclaim that in the streets of this community, in the reality of this town, in the reality of this country. God has called us to be the light and to be the salt. We'll continue with that thought. And by the end of this encounter service, my prayer is that we would all encounter the Lord anew, because His mercy is anew every day. His expressions to us anew every day. His anointing to us is a new strength every day. So my hope that by the end this encounter service is done, we would grasp a deeper understanding what it is to stand as light in this community, in this nation, and globally. What it represents to us, and how are we going to join and partner with God the Father into His reconciliation mission to this community. We'll have the opportunity to engage. It's interesting that both words that I got flow in this vein. I also know that the Lord is impressing things on our hearts this morning, and they're going to be shared with all of us. We will be encouraged by Him, and we also would encourage each other to take a stand for the light, for we represent that light and the soul that we are in this world.
Just focus yourself in worship as we approach Him. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face.
They're a Christian rap group, and the 116 stands for Romans chapter 1:16, which says, I am not ashamed of the good news. It is God's power to save everyone who believes, Jews first and Greeks as well. And I just really think that's really cool, because not only do they try to reach out to the world and with this rap music, and so many other rappers are out there and they're singing what is so much wrong, but they're actually, Lecrae, one of the singers, just came out with a new CD, Lecrae Gravity, and it is rated on the top, one of the top rap artists of all hip-hop. And I thought that's cool because so many people say, well, this rap music's cool. Well, look at him. He's rated number one. He's better than Lil Wayne, Eminem, and all those other rap artists. He's overtop them. And I think it's just so cool how so many Christians are finding ways to reach into the community, and we're finding new ideas of how we can lead others to Christ. And I just think it's really cool.
Absolutely, and that is exactly what it means to be the light in this world. It means that we will begin to walk one more time with great, fervent expression of faith in the marketplace of business, in the marketplace of government, in the marketplace of entertainment. Who would think that a Christian rapper would be voted that highly? In the place of education, Christian values, Christian worldviews would be marching on one more time, because the Church of God would raise up as an army and would enter the streets of life and will truly make a difference for Christ. Thank you, Hunter.
Can we have everyone under the age or at the age of 30 just come up to the front here? At or below? There's a line in this song. Now I've got to go back to it. There's a line in this song that says, "Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face." Now all of us who are slightly over 30, let's just lift our hands out to them. This is the generation I think just yesterday I was part of this generation. This is the generation that has the potential to change the world. Guys, just lift up your hands. Just let the Lord just pour down into you right now. God, let us be a generation that sees.
Now, He desires for all of us to be that sort of light, that source of illumination to Him. Now, that may sound scary to some of us, because we get intimidated sometimes. And we think, but we are not quite there yet. But let me tell you, compared to darkness, regardless of your light brightness, you are light, period. You are a redeemed, sparked by the Holy Spirit light. Your brightness will increase, but you, compared to the darkness of the house, are light. And it's interesting that God brought some encouraging words here, and I'd like for you guys to come and share now, Rachel and Jennifer. And if you would like to go ahead back to your seats, you can do that, and we'll continue to worship the Lord. But God is encouraging us in this vein to continue our pursuit of His mission of reconciliation of this world to Him.
While we were in worship, God talks to me in movies, in books that I read. And so one of the things that He brought to my mind was a picture of Pilgrim's Progress. It's the story of walking out the life of the character called Christian. And so in this story, he's walking from city to city, finding out who he is and building the character that God is trying to show him he's supposed to be. And so what God was letting me know was we are that character. We're Christian. We're trying to find out who we are, and we're walking from place to place to place. And in that, God's showing us his character and what he wants us to really to be. And so the thing is, we have to be just like the character Christian. We have to be willing to let go of certain things and willing to pick on that new character of either Christian learns how to love, Christian learns how to let go of guilt, Christian learns how to deal with, I'm trying to think of other ones, because like he literally goes through 20 different things in his walk to come to the end to be who he's supposed to be in Christ. So we're coming to a point where we need to figure out who we are and be willing to give that to Christ and be willing to be the character that God wants us to be, that child of God. We are his child. So it's getting that to that point. Are you willing to let go and pick up him and be more like him?
I just kind of sensed in my spirit as I was sitting there, it's kind of same along the same lines. But this is talking about inner healing. And it said, inner healing must be forgetting the Lord's nature or character to do his work, not for our happiness, but the inner healing is, you know, it's to clean us up in ourselves here in this place. So his love can flow through us. And just started to, the reason we need that to flow through us is so that we can go into our communities and be effective there. But some of the areas that I sense were just kind of, you know, maybe areas of pride or greed or fear, maybe, you know, lacking of knowing who you are in Christ, or seeking wisdom, maybe not always going there, you know, and looking for wisdom. But those are just a few of the things that I just kind of sensed he was leading us towards.
During worship, I had a picture of a tree, and the tree was raining fruit. I mean, literally raining fruit, like when the heavy downpour comes. And it was an abundant crop. And it kept dropping and dropping and dropping so much. I stood there and thought, it's going to be all gone. There's not going to be any more. And my fear that it would be gone so quickly that there would not be any more fruit. But as it kept raining fruit, I saw that it was coming from on high. It was actually not coming from the tree. It was coming from above. And there was no limit to the supply. So we can see that in so many ways, in just our provision as we look to the future and fear for our provision. Our provision comes from on high. We can fear a lack of provision in situations. Will we be enough? Will we be able to do what it takes? Well, our source is higher, and we need to be always looking up.
Amen.
See, I'd like for us, I believe from what we've heard, those three different words, if I can summarize it to us, in the flow of what I believe the Lord is doing this morning among us, he's preparing us for a time as this. This is a time that requires Esthers in the marketplace. For a time is this. this is a time that requires Daniels in the marketplace that are willing to be thrown in the lion's den, or his three friends thrown in the furnace, to testify not that we will be crushed and killed, but to testify to the supreme power of God, the ruler of all rulers, the Lord of all nations. It is a special time calling for special commissioning, calling on courageous, special people that are assembled this morning in this place, giving God the glory, testifying to His power and His equipping ability. And so what we just heard is appeal to us to allow the Holy Spirit to work in areas that we are not quite there yet. You know what the Lord showed me, He usually shows me not literal pictures. I had one call like that with a literal picture that changed my whole life. The rest of the pictures He gives me, they're usually word pictures. But I promise I'm going to research that. I do not quite know how they make salt. But I'd like to know. He showed me a process in drawing the best of the salt. Like when the salt is at its best. I bet you it goes through some processes to get there. And I will go into that and I'll research the topic. But the picture He showed me is, you are the salt to this earth and I cannot afford you to lose your saltness. It's just the opposite. The things you're going through, the things you lack, are only pointing to areas you still need to work on. Actually, it's His Holy Spirit sharpening us in this area. Somebody actually on Friday night used the sandblasting. You know, he sandblasts us right there. So we fit within His call. But it's a time as this that calls for courageous people, sandblasted, prepared. The saltiness has been drawn from everything else that's laying around. And He says, my supply is endless. My provision is there for you. I'm just asking you right now, just come on, dedicate yourself, rededicate yourself one more time to be the salt and the light of this world. And I will do the rest. Don't be intimidated, because you are my cold light. You are the hope of glory for that perishing world out there. It is Jesus in you that makes you the salt and the light. And so, to respond to the words we just heard, I encourage you to look into your hearts and to dedicate or rededicate areas that God needs to sandblast, that He needs to work on. And the altars are open here. I'd like for Linnea and Rachel and Jennifer to come and to receive those that would like prayer on that behalf. But I believe we all have areas that we can recommit to God the Father and say, for your sake, for me to be as salty as I can ever become, I'm dedicating this to you. And I'm putting it at the altar. And I'm dedicating myself that the oil that you have sparked in me would burn constantly before your altar. And it's not going to die. I will be that light source that will not go dim but bright. So, altars are open for you to respond to that call, to prepare your best to be the salt and light in this world.
Isn't He beautiful?
Beautiful.
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 Isn't He?
Isn't He?
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace.
Son of
God.
Isn't He?
Isn't He?
One.
I thought there is something to do with water evaporating when the salt is being made, but I wasn't going to go into an area I haven't researched yet. So we have somebody that's very aware of how salt is being made, and the Lord had shown him details as he understands the process. So I'd like for Tim to share to us the salt making process.
There are two processes in making salt. The obvious one is that the diluting factor of the water keeps the level of salt at a minimum. So as the process begins, the water begins to evaporate. What the Lord showed me was, in this first part of the process, is that this water is the factors of this world that dilute who we are in Him, that keep us from the intensity that He wants us to be. The second part of the process that He began to show me and that I have seen is that there are minerals added into that mix. And those minerals represent those things that God has destined us to be. We can be the salt of this world by being a rap singer. We can be the salt of this world by being a teacher. We could be the salt of this world by simply being who He has destined us to be. So those minerals that He is putting into the salt, into our lives, will begin to manifest themselves in what we, from before the time we were who we are, He determined we will be. Teachers, lawyers, doctors, police officers, singers, writers. There is not a single avenue in the existence of the human race that has not shown a manifestation of the presence of God when we simply allow Him to show us who we are meant to be. Our forefathers mentioned God in almost every document that was written. Some of the greatest songwriters that we have ever known are Christians. Some of the greatest teachers will gladly show you and tell you that what they know is not of their own understanding, but what has God shown into their lives. So my encouragement is, stand in the sun. Let Him dry up the delusional water so that you may become concentrated, not only of mind, but of spirit. So this salt that you are to become will season another life.
Thank you. Thank you. Stand in the sun in His presence so He may evaporate the world views that are not of Him. Every worldview that differs from Christ's commands need to evaporate. And those of Christ's commands that we are familiar with and that have penetrated our understanding, we need to practice, or we cannot be the light and the salt. Jesus says that those that love me, they also obey my commands. So what we have learned from Christ, His lifestyle, His sacrificial sufferings, His redemption acts on the cross, we have to practice. We have obediently to put into our core being and begin to walk that in a very real way in the streets of our community. So the altar is still open. I believe we need a little bit, a couple of more minutes to linger on that as we rededicate ourselves and give areas to the Lord that truly need to be exposed to the sun so dilution doesn't override the saltness and the minerals. When you're looking at the global picture of salt, every individual Christian around the world brings the unique qualities that we are, that He created us to be, so we can represent Him in every sphere of life, in business, in politics, in education, in entertainment, and in arts. In every sphere of life, He has salt crystals. And they're very unique, but when you put them together, they exemplify God the Creator, the Father of all humans, and His glory goes around the world by your representation. I'll give you just a few more minutes to linger. You can walk to the altar if you want to. You can be at your own seats.
I want you to pause for a minute and think on what you're just now singing. If I can get the words back again. How deep is your love for me? How wide, how deep, how great is your love for me? And we look at these words and we immediately transfer them to ourselves individually, or at the most, we branch out to the church with those words. And we say this: how wide, how deep, how great is your love for me individually? How deep, how great is your love for your church? We are absolutely correct to say that. But I want to add the third element. Otherwise, we will be reducing the gospel to insignificance. We have to also hold this perspective. How wide, how deep, how great is your love for this fallen world? It is so deep, it is so wide, it is so profound that you, God, sent your only begotten Son, who is also deity, to come in human form, to take up a representation that you and I can understand, so we can grasp that depth, that width, the immensity of God's love to all humankind. We cannot have exclusivity clause as we gather with people of like beliefs. The church is the only institution that is here for its non-members. We cannot be focused on the members exclusively. We have to go and pursue the sinner, because this is what God did for you and me. We were sinners, yet in that sinful, depraved, darkened, futile condition, He pursued you and me relentlessly until you and me opened our hearts to God, the Father, the Creator of all humans, and we allowed Him to reconcile us to Himself. Now, it's very good, it's a good news for you and me that we have done that. But I just want to ask you, do you take the big picture in account? That as you enjoy His call on your life, there are multitudes of people out there that are still in a darkened state with no light. With no light. With no source of understanding.
I need to put on my superhero glasses. At least that's the way I see it. I just passed on a note to Peggy.
Put your mic on.
Something the Lord gave me during worship. I was standing on a plateau that overlooked a view, much like one would see when visiting a place like the Grand Canyon. Though I was taking in the beauty, nothing in particular caught my eye. I was just appreciating it, but I'd seen it before. Then the Lord Jesus called me up to a higher plateau. From here, He showed me his vantage point. There were fields of wheat as far as the eye could see. These fields were in the same place that I was looking before, but it was different when I was seeing it from his perspective. Now, I'm a New Yorker. I'm not a country boy. I can't spell agriculture. But what the Lord's been saying to me today was, and he was saying it right when we started, was that, and maybe somebody knows what this means, but that the harvest is white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that probably means
ready to.
It's ready to be reaped.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing on my heart at the moment is this. It's, I believe, the Lord's heart that when you're in the workplace and when you're outside of these walls, that you just don't, you know, aimlessly deliver who you are in Christ, but that you learn from listening to the Holy Spirit who He wants you to talk to, and when He wants you to talk to them, and what He wants you to say. And you'll be surprised that most often it's not what you think. You know, it's not like these things that you get where it's like, say these five things, okay? It's things most likely about concern for that person's life in ways that convey love and compassion for them. But you've got to focus on hearing the voice of the Lord.
See, you have to go up higher on the plateau with God to be able to grasp the big picture that He's observing. Because with God, the creator of all universe, the creator of all human beings, is looking at is the white fields, the ripe harvest. There are two prayers that Jesus Actually, really, there is only one prayer that Jesus told us to pray. The other prayer, the disciples asked Him to give them an example. But the prayer that Jesus told His followers to pray, can you tell me what that is? Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send what? Workers. To send laborers into the harvest. Because, He said, as you look around, the fields are white, they're ripe, they're ready to be harvested, but the workers are few. So I am telling you to pray to the Lord of the harvest to deploy an army of harvesters, an army of laborers that can take the grain that is ready to be taken in. Because let me tell you, there is an opportune time for a harvest to be harvested. I'm not a farmer either. I guess I know how to spell agriculture, but that's about as far as I go. But even I know, Kenny's laughing at me real hard. Kenny, what happens to the harvest if you don't harvest it on time? You lose the crops. It falls into the ground for nothing. And you will trample it, just like the salt, if it loses its saltiness. There is an opportune time. And church, this is what I believe the Lord is stirring us to do. In this opportune time of 2012, 2 months before a very important decision the majority of the citizens of this country needs to make, He's stirring us to be the laborers in this harvest field. There is an opportune time. Let us not forfeit the opportune time to go and bring God the fruit that He has worked on, so we can go and harvest that. a very interesting word was brought to me, and I'd like to finish this service with this word. I will have an appeal to all of us after Alexia shares what God has shown her as an image.
As I was standing up here, I saw a pile of salt as like on a table, and it was just this little pile of salt. And as I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's great. How does it get onto the food to flavor it? And the Lord said, shakers. Now, in this culture, we get salt shakers. And I was like, Lord, what is the shaker? What is going to get the salt that is in us to shake, to get out, to flavor the world? And it is our circumstances, the circumstances that we live in, the circumstances that step into our lives on a daily basis sometimes, and it's the circumstances of those that are around us. So when we find a place where there is an unrighteous situation and our righteousness comes out in love, that's a shaker. When you see the circumstances of the political situation and we have an opportunity to speak in love and in truth to someone, that is the shaker. So it's the circumstances that surround us. And as Pete was saying, it's not out there just for everybody. It's for those that God puts in our sphere. If we engage ourselves in a conversation or if we're in a room and a situation comes up, that's the shaker. So that was the picture that I had had, is that it's no good to just be a lump of salt, because we're not going to go to any restaurant and pinch salt off a table that's been exposed to everybody. We're going to shake it. So be the shaker, and now is the time to be the shaker.
I want to propose to you that God has placed us in a very unique shaker at this time in this culture. And He is shaking through the circumstances that we encounter. He is shaking His church big time. And He is shaking us for His purposes. He's saying, stop being lulled into security, or stop being lulled by thinking you cannot make a difference in this world. I'm shaking you through circumstances that come at you, that irritate you, that begin to churn your spirit so you can actually move and begin to walk my purposes in this land. And I want Linnea to share something that the Lord has laid on her heart for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, the Lord gave me this a few weeks ago, but it just didn't seem to fit. But today, it's His word. He said to me, I have good news for you every morning, every moment too, that will prepare you for the news on Fox or CNN or wherever, or the events that come in life throughout the day. My news is timeless and will not only set your mind and attitude right for the day, but for the future. It grieves me when I see you rely on Fox News and email for your thermometer of the times. That's like threading a needle in the dark. Look to me first to get the kingdom view before you absorb the world and let it wear you down. Check in with me frequently throughout the day to receive the heavenly perspective you need. You're only seeing through a glass dimly.
That is a very encouraging word to hear. Just to recap, did God have an agenda this morning with us? I believe He led us into a very distinct path this morning. And I want to give you one last opportunity to respond to the stirring of the Holy Spirit in your hearts. This is how I understand what the Lord is trying to relate to us this morning. There is a God in heaven who is a triune God who is on a mission. He relentlessly pursues those that have fallen, sinful, have darkened minds, do not understand who He is. In that pursuit, He has given Jesus Christ as a redemption for all and as a penalty taker, as a propitiation. But just because Jesus Christ came to save and redeem doesn't mean that the redeemed have no mission to accomplish. The redeemed, those that are you and I, those that right now are sitting in our Father's house in California, Maryland, are called upon to partner with God, who is on a missionary journey, to bring all that may hear and understand to a rightful relationship with Him. Now, that partnership that He desires between you and Him, He calls salt and light. And it's a commission for all of us to go pursue the non-members, to go outside of the church walls, to begin to walk the streets of this community, and to represent the gospel of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means God the Father wants His children, all of His creation, to come to know Him as a loving, merciful, forgiving God that can bring reality into everyone's existence, meaning a reality of joy, a reality of happiness, a reality of true relationship with Him, which means human flourishing. That's in very simple terms. How do we do that? By walking who we are among those that do not know God. So we walk our core values, our belief systems, not in silence. We still have to proclaim. And God gave us an opportunity to repent of certain things and to allow Him to bring other things to remembrance, so we know areas that need to be evaporated in His Son. Okay? So we can be concentrated salt, so we do not lose the flavor. So the fish can be preserved. Remember, we are not going to blame the house, and we cannot blame the fish. By the way, He gave that example with the salt because that's what they used. They preserved meat with that. So we cannot blame something that deteriorates on its own if the agent to stop deterioration is not present. So we have to be present in this world. And I love that God orchestrates things like that, and He gave Alexia the image of salt shaker. Let me tell you what is the Lord doing to us. At the end of 2012, He has placed His church in a salt shaker and is shaking real hard, because we all have to be awakened by the circumstances around us and to take our rightful place in the marketplace so His light can go forth. It's a very sobering, very deep message that He had for us this morning. And it's an engaging message of partnership. What I would like this morning for us to do, and I could have ended on a very pathos-like moment, which I can get into, and get all of you emotionally excited about it. But I do not want to do that. I'm going to ask you to solemnly consider the times. Because when Mordecai went to Esther and said this through her servant to her, tell Esther, just because she might be saved, she thinks she's going to be safe in the king's palace and not be killed if the rest of the Jews are killed. Tell her that she is delusioning herself with such image. Tell her to consider, did God place her there? Although in the book of Esther, there is no mention of God, but we know what it implies. If she is in the palace for a time, is this. Now, God has placed us all in different areas of life, in different walks of the marketplace, to influence for His kingdom. And I want you to consider, did God place you there for a time as this? And is a time for you to stand up for who He is? Through your actions, through your speech, through what you support. And as you're considering this, I want to open these altars. And those of you that would like to be a difference makers, catalysts of change in this community and in this nation, I'm inviting you to come to the front as an outward expression of your determination to be marketplace ministers. Because let me tell you, the marketplace ministers are even more important than the ones that are sitting behind the pulpit on Sunday morning. You, as a minister of reconciliation, has much to say to this world, much to proclaim. So again, the altars are open, and if you feel that in boldness, in courage, empowered by the Holy Spirit, you would like your light to shine and your salt to give life-preserving flavor to this community and this nation, I'd like for you to come to the front. And we will pray a commissioning and anointing over you as marketplace ministers. Lee, go ahead. And you may start coming to the front.
Giving you my heart, all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, laying down my rights, giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And
surrender all that we are so we can become all that you desire for us to be. Father, we surrender everything that we are to you so we can embrace your purposes for our lives, so we can do the good deeds that your word says that you have ordained for us to do from beginning of time. You know who we are. You know our uniquenesses, and you have placed us in a combined local body of Christ. And I thank you, Father, for those that have walked to the front, that have committed themselves to be marketplace ministers, to be ambassadors for Christ as they walk the streets of this community, that your anointing would go with them, that your witness will stay with them, that their actions would display the character of Christ, that as they speak, anointed, spirit-empowered words are going to come forth, that as they speak into people's situations, that they would hear the nudging of your spirit, and they will speak life. And I'm commissioning those people as life givers, for this is who you called us to be, the hope of Christ in us to those that are perishing. And Lord, I'm thankful that you have stirred us, that you have awakened our hearts to go after the commissioning of God, to embrace the partnership that you have called us to work on. You and us jointly walking the reconciliation mission. And we praise you for that. We thank you for that. We are praying that your will would be established in this nation. We thank you that you are the Lord of all lords. That's what your scripture says. That you are the King of all nations. That there isn't any other one that can take your rightful place. But that you are sovereign over the works of all nations. And you are sovereign over the happenings of the nations. And you are sovereign over the leadership of nations. And we praise you for that. We dedicate ourselves to be that sort of representatives in this nation. We pray that we can make a true difference for Christ in the United States of America. We pray that this community will truly be changed because you have changed people at our Father's house. We pray that your anointing would be so strong over this house that as we walk outside of these walls, people would feel, people would sense that there is a difference in us, and we will be a catalyst of change. We give you glory. We thank you for the future of this nation. We praise you for who you are in this nation, for the origin of this nation, for the divine oversight of the origin of this nation. And we pray that your will be established in the future for this nation, that nobody can hijack your sovereignty, for you are sovereign God, and we thank you. And we know you have called your people to awaken to a repentance life, to a life full of holiness and repentance. And you have said that if your people pray to you with that sort of attitude, then you will come and truly would engage the land in healing, in restoration. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We glorify you for that. And I'm praying for all of those seated before your throne right now, aligned across this altar, your anointing to go over them, your wisdom to support them, that your spirit would equip them, that you would call them into the works of Christ that would surpass their expectations and their dreams. I'm calling your spirit over them to flow in abundance. I'm calling hope in their lives so they might be the hope of Christ for others. I'm calling the anointed speech in all of those people that they can testify for Christ, so their words can be challenge-proving words. So their life testimony can be life-giving testimony to many.
I'm calling those that are sitting in front of you to work that are greater than their personal imaginations, but that fit within the major blueprint of God. I'm asking you to anoint all of us. I'm asking you specifically to pay attention to those that have walked to the front and have consecrated themselves to holy living in order to bring the testimony of Christ in the marketplace in this community. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
You alone are worthy.